There we go.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you're all here to hear about Jo Elizabeth Pinto's book. And Annie's going to interview her, and we are all looking forward to hearing about it. So, Annie, take it away.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I have to do something.
Well, this is, I can just say that this is February's book lunch. So, of
Okay, I'm
2026. Okay, go ahead.
hold on 1 second. Having technical difficulties. I don't know why. Okay. Everything's up at the Zoom quick settings. Okay, so I'm just gonna go. If you hear a little bleed over on my volume and stuff, just bear with me because it's not letting me change over. All right. Okay, so Jo Elizabeth Pinto was one of the first blind students to integrate into the public schools in the 1970s when the federal laws allowed disabled children to be educated with their peers. She has two college degrees, one in human services from the University of Colorado and another in nonprofit management from the Metropolitan State College in Denver. In addition to writing, she freelances these days as an editor and a braille proofreader. As an author, Jo Pinto entertains her readers while giving them food for thought. In her fiction, nonfiction, and poetry, she draws on personal experience to illustrate that hope is always an action away. Jo Pinto lives in Colorado with her husband and their teenage daughter. Their family also includes her guide dog, Sprinkles, I love that name, a poodle Maltese mix named Leo, three birds, and an aging family cat who goes by the name Sam I Am when he feels like it. You can find out about her two novels, two memoirs, and a book of nature poetry available in paperback, Kindle, and audio formats by visiting her website, www.brightsideauthor.com. That's spelled BRIGHTSIDEAUTHOR, all one word, .com. All right, so now I'm going to read you a little bit about Unbroken Love. With her dad long gone and her mom working hard to make ends meet, Vanessa Coleman spends most of her time taking care of her little sister, Robin, who has developmental delays. Love is definitely the last thing on Vanessa's mind. After all, her mom has warned her many times over the years about getting her heart broken. After losing his dad in Afghanistan and seeing his mom spiral into drugs and alcohol, Trevor Stokes has moved from Tennessee to Michigan to live with his uncle. His love for basketball sustains him, and he wants nothing to do with girls, especially after the way his mom has flaked out on him. The unlikely couple drawn together are drawn together by an unlikely matchmaking friend and Romeo and Juliet. And there's some bullying along the way. So thanks, Joe, for coming with us here tonight and sharing your love for writing.
I'm glad to be here.
So I have some questions. I guess we'll go through some questions and then we'll open it up. But first, I wanted to ask you, why young adult romance? What about it attracts you to the genre? Do you read it yourself? And what do you get from it, like emotionally as a person?
Well, it was actually an editor, well, a publisher at a writing conference sort of threw down the challenge, and I like young adult books, and so I really like to write for that age group, sort of the teenage market, but I hadn't ever really read romances or been interested in them. And then she said, "Well, can you write me a romance?" And I said, "Well, I don't even read romances." And she said, "Oh, you can do it." And I said, "You know, they're all beautiful people, you know, and fluff and stuff, and I'm not really interested." And she said, "You know, there's a market out there for romances with some substance to them. You know, there's girls out there who have issues and they want to see themselves in romances." And so I kind of grudgingly took her up on her challenge because she said, "If you write me a romance, I might publish it." And so I checked out this book on how to write romances and I said, "Well, we'll see." And I read this book and followed the instructions, and I wasn't even sure I was going to do it, but I don't back down from challenges. And so the characters started sort of percolating in my mind and over that summer. And then by the fall, I kind of had these characters in my mind. And once you get the characters, the rest is just following the instructions about the plot.
So what was the book that you read that helped you write your book?
It was called Romancing the Beat by Gwen Hayes,
Okay.
and it just tells you romances are all about the tropes that
Yes.
that people want to see. You know, they meet and then they start to have a relationship and then they have some problems, and you know, so once it's kind of like baking a cake. You do this and then you do this and then you do this, and but you have to have the characters, or at
It's
least in my
character driven, right? Romance is
right.
character driven, right? Okay. Interesting stuff. So you were a reluctant romance writer at first?
Definitely, definitely. I've never read that many, but it's all about the characters, and my books are always about the characters.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. So how is this different from Braided Love? Did you come into Braided Love like in like a similar you wanted a similar outcome or no?
Kind of. I want all of my books to have people with disabilities in there, woven in, living normal lives, so to speak. Not heroes, not damsels in distress. And not necessarily recovering from their disabilities. And I want that to just be part of the book. So Robin in this book is just part of the story,
Right.
but she's a part of the story that makes what happens to Trevor be a pivotal part of the story.
Right. So how much
So,
of that situation you want me to give away, like when we talk about it now, like there is, like I mentioned, some bullying. So there was bullying going on in the relational aspects of between Trevor and Vanessa, who, were the love interest couple, and then Vanessa's sister was somehow involved in that, and that's how. So how did that come about? Like, how did you
Well,
develop that whole,
some of it happened to me in school.
Oh.
So I drew on that. And then some of it happened to me, and my siblings reacted to that. And then some of it happened to my daughter from having a blind mom. So I had that to draw on. Some of it happened to her for other reasons. And then also, I'm trying to think. The part with, I'm trying, I don't know how much
I
to
know,
give
that's why
away.
that's why I didn't. I'm leaving it up to you, my dear. I didn't
Well, I don't know
want
who's read. I don't know how.
overshare.
I don't know how who has and who hasn't read it, but some of it happened when my husband got sick. When I was an adult and he got sick, and we had to go through a lot of, okay, if you fell in love with me because I had a disability, and you said to me that I'm a whole person and I was okay just the way I am, then now that you have a disability, you're a whole person just the way you are. And you can't say that you're not a whole man if I wasn't a whole woman that you fell in love with.
I see. Oh, okay. You guys are all going to have to read the book because but I understand now where that whole that the situation and the thrust of the emotional resonance of the book came through, Joe. That's really kind of you to share that,
Because he went
that's
through
really
this whole
personal.
phase of I'm less than. And I said, you can't have it both ways.
All right.
Because if you're less than now, then I was less than when you married me.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. Like you've got to, live your beliefs, right? And not change them just because you feel sorry for yourself.
Right. If you feel sorry for yourself now, then I was not okay before.
That's a pretty powerful message.
And I want people to get that when they read this book.
I
I
got
don't know
that.
if they,
I
you
got
know.
that totally. And I was really, I got to tell you, I had to read the book all in one sitting. I could not break away from it. So
Oh,
that
I'm
means
glad.
I stayed up until 3 in the morning.
Well, good.
And
A
my
sacrifice.
Yeah, I
A good
sacrificed sleep for
sacrifice.
your book, Joe. But I loved it. I really, really did. And I mean, I loved it because it hit so many emotional markers for me. There was one point when he got hurt, and I was just like, oh, I felt that. Like I was like, oh no. Like that was just a moment that the book gave me that I hadn't had in a while with some books that I've read. And I read a lot of like high fantasy and swashbuckling stuff.
Oh.
And this was just so much more impactful for so many reasons. But I won't give any more away. So, all right, we're gonna let me ask you some other questions here. So you answered this partially. You did use an outline, am I correct? That you followed the book's suggestions
Well, I did.
for.
More than with my other books, I read that book probably 5 times in a row trying to get the, now I didn't want to miss anything. You know.
I don't know. I have found over the years outlining really does help. I mean, you don't have to like be so strict or I mean, you can use an outline to your advantage in whatever way you want. It does help you keep on track, and help you stay keep the story relevant, not go off on into tangents, at least for
Right.
me.
This one, I
Yeah.
did more of that, but I didn't know exactly. I mean, I didn't have it down to the scene, I guess, but I had kind of the chapters figured out by the outline. Okay, I need to do this. Now I need to have them get into trouble. You know, I had the
Right.
kind of the big pieces figured out.
So how did you choose the time, the place, the location, the families? Was that purposeful? Did you go and just, let the characters write themselves? They were all very engaging, and I'm really curious about that.
I kind of chose the setting because my husband's from there, from up near Detroit, and his sister is
Okay.
up there. And so I had her help me pick out, you know, like St. John's Resort and
Okay.
like I knew about the Pistons and some of the country up there and the Wolverines, the Michigan
Yes.
Wolverines and some of the
Right.
different stuff like that. So I try to get kind of overall setting like that. And then the characters just kind of wrote, well, I had the idea of Vanessa and Melissa and the honeybee and the butterfly and you know, all that. They kind of wrote themselves that way. And oh, they do a lot of that once I get the characters. You know, when her big family, Mel's big family, and the all of that, that they just kind of write themselves.
Yeah, I felt very at home and comfortable in Mel's family when I was reading about, their situation and everything. It was a nice feeling, and then I can imagine Vanessa just feeling relaxed enough to just be herself,
One of my writers group people said, you know, it's not safe to be a parent of one of your main characters because they're usually either dead or not around, and but you always give them somewhere to land.
Yeah. And then there were some revelations that I didn't expect. Like Mel's mom and her artistic side. That was a
I felt like she
surprise.
needed to be something
Yeah.
more than just a mom. I felt like she needed to be fulfilled. I mean, not that being a mom isn't fulfilling, but I felt like she was calling out to do some. Maybe it's me that needs something more.
Well, I was saying, well, you're the mom and the wife, and you're also a gifted author. So I kind of I was like, oh, is that a little reflection of Joe in there? I don't know.
Could be because you know my mom phase is well, my daughter's gonna graduate this spring.
Oh my goodness.
I
Where's the
know, right?
time go?
I know.
Yeah. I remember when she was 12
I know, right?
and she was going off to camp.
Yeah, well, he's gonna graduate and have to figure out what to do next.
Oh my goodness. Oh, bless her. Yeah. I know my daughter is 30, so it's like my baby is 30 and I feel old. So it seems like a lot of your personal experiences and your reflections regarding like just relationships and motherhood and all of that are reflected in this book. Am I correct in assuming that?
I think so. You know what? Author told me a long time ago when I was in junior high, she said, you gather materials from your life and you write like a bird building a nest. She said, you take a little from here and a little from there and you build a book like you're a bird building a nest. And you put things into your books that are part of yourself.
I
And so
like that
you'll,
metaphor, yeah.
yeah. And so I think you do. And she said, as you, she was really telling me that at whatever age I was, 14 or 15, I didn't have the experiences yet to write a book because that's what I wanted to do. And
Right.
I think she was telling me that I didn't have enough life experience to write a book in a nice way.
Yeah. Yeah. What about now?
I do, but I think what I've learned about myself is that I have to rest between books. There are some people that can just go from one to the next or even work on two or three at a time. But I need to take a year or two between books before I just go to the next one because I need some recovery time.
Yeah, I understand that. That resonates with me. I think probably because maybe the high emotional level of engagement we have with our writing kind of burns us out a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah, and we gotta
And
go, hey, we gotta, well, I need a vacation.
right. I need some time to build back up again.
And those people who don't need that downtime are, I equate that with guide dog users who need time between dogs and guide dog users who turn in, who go to the school and give their current dog to their puppy raiser and then, or, whoever, and then go right to the next dog. Those are the two extremes of guide dog life, right?
Well, and I
And
tried that once and it was not very successful.
See, I couldn't do that either. I need time. I need time to just shift and have some time. Yeah. But the people who do it the other way,
More power
I
to him.
because I couldn't do it. Maybe under pressure, if I really needed to, I could, but I don't know. Anyway. So what else about this book would you like to share with the people listening tonight? And it could be about the mechanics of the book, it could be about a specific character, it could be about how long it took you, the publishing process, whatever you feel you want to share tonight. This is your chance before we go into questions.
I can't really think of anything. It was just I tried to have it done with a publisher and actually the one that asked me to write it, and it made it all the way to the top of her list for the
Right.
year, and then she just didn't have the bandwidth with her company. But it was really exciting to go through that process.
Wow. How did that happen? Like, was it something that just fell in your lap, or did
Well, I
you
went to a
actively
writing
pursue it?
conference called
Okay.
Superstars, which is
Right.
here in Colorado, in Colorado Springs. And I would highly recommend that conference if any of you all are interested in writing conferences, because it teaches a lot of the business aspects of writing and because it is very accommodating. It's one of the most accommodating type conferences I have ever been to for people with disabilities. So if any of you want information about that, let me know. It's in February, at the beginning of February every year in Colorado Springs. And like I said, I have never been to a place where they are more helpful or more just
Friendly.
doing friendly and
Yeah.
doing everything they can to make the experience good for everybody. They had a person who was deaf blind there last year, and she got as much out of it as I've ever seen anybody get out of something like that. They had interpreters for her.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So,
That
yeah.
thank you for saying that. Have you considered traditional publishing at all before that point?
I had considered it back in the 90s when I started, but not really since then.
Yeah.
I like having control of everything. I get to decide what the cover is like. I get to decide all everything. And with
Yeah.
traditional publishing, you don't get to make all of those decisions. The cover of this book
Yeah.
has two people putting on sitting on a bench near an ice skating rink, and some people are skating, and it has a Christmas tree, and you can see the sky and stuff. It's just a really nice cover, and I got to decide what that was going to be. But I wouldn't have gotten to decide that if I had, if a publisher would have gotten to decide all that.
Right. Yeah, I do think that they do take on some of the things that are exciting to the author. Like I want, for me, with all my books, I want to be part of the cover selection. I don't want to
Right.
be excluded from that, because
And
that's
they don't do
also
as much
part,
of
yeah.
as the
Go ahead.
marketing anymore. They used to do a lot of the marketing, but now you're stuck with all that anyway.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed. And I think they'll continue to change and shift.
Right.
And then we're left to like kind of scramble in and see what's going to happen with the indie publishing stuff and the traditional publishing stuff. And I don't know. I think
So,
the
I don't
one
know.
thing I'm really disillusioned about with traditional publishing is how long it takes.
Right.
And if it took less time,
Right.
I might try it again. But 2 years,
2 years.
that's
This book wouldn't have come out
right.
if I had gone with her, it probably wouldn't have come out until 2028.
Yeah, see,
It's a long
that's
time.
we need to live and and go on and write more and not wait on these things. All right. Let's see. So we're at 7:31, and we're going to open to questions. So we're not going to raise hands, okay? We're just going to say our names and ask our question so we don't step on each other. So if anybody has a question, please say your name and then we'll get started.
Tony has a bunch of questions,
Go ahead, Tony.
but first of all, how you doing there, Joe?
Hi, how are you?
Good. So I haven't read the book. So how did you end up publishing the book?
I've published it on KDP on Amazon. And it came out just a few weeks ago.
And did you go through anybody? Like when I self-published my last book, I went through an editor, the Dvorkins, Leonore and David
Oh,
Dvorkin,
okay.
those guys. But you didn't do that. You just went directly with KDP.
I did. I have a I'm an editor, and then I have another person. Her name is Debbie Horst, and she does the formatting for me. We trade services, so I edit her books and she edits mine.
Oh,
And then she does
excellent.
the formatting.
Excellent. Well, I've got other questions, but I'll give somebody else a chance to ask something.
Okay, Tony. Anybody else?
This is Lisa. I have a comment. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on your book. It does sound fascinating, and I'd love to read it. And when you were talking about disability and all that, I haven't read this book, but there's a book called My Body Is Not a Prayer Request.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah, that's what it made me think of. Are your books on Bard?
My first book is on Bard. It's called The Bright Side of Darkness. And it's a young to new adult book. It's 13147 on Bard. The rest of mine are on Audible. Well, some of the rest of mine are on, most of the rest of mine are on Audible if you have Audible credits. But after COVID, I wasn't sure how to get them onto Bard. I don't know why they can't just lift them off the Audible collection, because that's what they did with my first one.
Well, have you asked them to do that? I mean, maybe they can.
I don't know. It got really contentious
Oh.
after COVID. I mean, because I don't know, things, they had some new people come in. I suppose I could probably contact them again. But most of them are on Audible. I got really kind of frustrated with, I don't even know if I should say this. I got kind of frustrated with the blind community for a while because authors have to eat. And everybody wanted them to be on Bard where
I
they can be
understand.
for free.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, guys, it's not that expensive to get an Audible. I mean, I suppose it is for some people because you have to pay for the monthly thing, but
But you don't actually. You can buy an Audible book even if you aren't signed up for Audible monthly.
it's like, come on, guys, you put in all this work to write a book. And then you guys want it for free, and maybe I shouldn't feel that way, but it's like as soon as the book comes out, is it on Bard? Is it on Bard? I'll just wait for it to come out on Bard. And it's like, people.
Joe, this is Annie. I have some of the same feelings about that. I try to make my books accessible and as low cost as possible to people, and draft to digital. Of what used to be Smashwords, but they've
Right.
stripped, is an option if you want to look into it, because you the person can get accessible file sources. So if they wanted to purchase the book from Draft to Digital, and they have what is it called, EPUB and PDF. So
Right.
they could, they could purchase it and then convert the file, with their whatever their Braille program is, and then they could read it from their Braille displays, or you can take the file like I usually do, and put it into like Voice Dream Reader or whatever. So
It
there
just
are
annoys me a
ways.
tiny
Yeah,
bit that
I know.
it's like as soon as you
I'm looking to
publish a
make money
book,
too. I know.
they start saying, well, when's it on Bard? And it's like, come on, guys, you can pay a tiny bit of money to
Yeah.
read the book just like everybody else does. So anyway, I won't complain anymore, but
That's understandable. That's understandable.
but eventually it does come, it does get to Bookshare and Bard. I wait like a year. And then after the year, I'll start pushing to get my stuff up
Right.
for free. But I want that first year of paid,
Right.
yeah. I hear
This
you.
is Carol,
Hey,
and
Carol.
I was going to ask a question like that of what other platforms or formats are your books coming in? Do they come in Braille at all? And
It's really hard to get a book made into Braille. as far as I know.
Oh
Now,
my God.
sometimes you can get it made into a file that they can read on a braille display, I think. But I probably am behind a little on that because I don't have a braille display, so I don't know all of that, but Annie might know.
Yeah, so I know that if you have someone else who has a Braille display and a Duxbury program or whatever, can maybe you can speak up about the how to convert a PDF or an EPUB to a BRF file. I think that's how people do it.
Well, you can also, if you have a Braille display, you can read it in DOCX or PDF. As long as you're not trying to put anything in it yourself, you can read it that way, as long as it's not all pictures. PDF files are,
No, there's no pictures.
But I mean, you can read it in those formats on most Braille displays.
Okay.
And my second question is, would you ever consider having a reader do your book rather than digital?
Oh, like a
An audiobook?
AI?
Yeah, an audio reader. Somebody who
Oh.
actually reads that, not from, digital.
Like an AI reader?
A real reader, a
Oh, real
person.
reader. Yo, yeah, I'm in process. Actually, I think Melissa Riccobono is probably gonna do it.
Oh, that's
Oh,
cool.
yeah,
She
that
did Braided Love. She
is
did
that
Braided
who
Love.
did that?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize.
But I actually had to think long and hard about whether I was gonna put this one in Audible because Braided Love sold miserably on Audible. So I had to really think about, was this worth the money to put on Audible? Because my first ones did okay, but that one was a flop. So I thought I'll try it one more time and see if it does better. But I mean, I didn't even come close to making my money back. So I don't know. I mean, it's like
7:40 p.m. One notification message.
blind people talk about, oh, we want our stuff accessible and this and that, but they don't always put their money behind it. So I don't know. I'll try it again.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's
And I'm
20.
not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just saying it's a tough spot to be in, to be in an author sometimes.
Debbie, I mean Joe, it's Tony again. Just wondering how long did it take you to write the book from when you, I guess from when you started really, really writing till you thought you really, really were finished. That how long did it take?
From when I really, not from when I got the book and started puttering around with it, but I guess a couple months from
Oh,
when I
wow.
really sat down and really buckled down to it, probably a few months, maybe from September till Christmas time or so.
Oh, that sounds fast to me.
Well, but from the time, I mean, I played around with it all summer and kind of picked at it and poked at it, but I had a deadline too, because I wanted to get it done in time for the next writers' conference after when the publisher was going to be there. So if I hadn't had that deadline, it might have taken longer.
That's an interesting thing to say about deadlines. They really are, they really do work in the writing
Yes.
world. That's why we have them.
Hi. Hi, Joe. This is Deborah. Say congratulations to you on your new book. Did I hear you say that you did the work to upload the book to KDP yourself, or did you have help to do that?
I had a my partner Debbie Horst what helped me because that's not accessible.
That's what I was wondering if it was accessible, to be able to do that yourself.
Most of it is, but the you have to really, as far as I know, you have to be able to see the cover and the margins and stuff of it. I did most of it, but there's a few steps that are not quite accessible, which is too bad. I don't know.
Do you
Yeah.
have
There's
your
always a
imprint?
few inaccessible steps.
Do you have your own imprint, or did you use the Amazon?
I'd use the Amazon KDP.
Okay.
I don't see anything wrong with it, really. Some people kind of swear by having their own, but I don't really see anything wrong with just using the KDP.
Yeah, I use my own ISBNs. I buy them from Boker in
Oh,
packs of 10. And then
okay.
I have them at my disposal. That's just me.
Yeah, I haven't
But
seen the reason to, but if you do, that why do you choose to do that?
so if Amazon decides to do anything with the ISBNs, because they technically own them,
Oh.
it won't eliminate, I'm
It doesn't
protected.
impact you, right?
Oh,
Right.
okay.
I
That
own my
makes
work.
sense. I guess that makes sense. I just hadn't really thought that far ahead.
It's expensive though, because
Right.
what happens is when you do the KDP, it wraps the whole package up for you, and
Right.
it discounts the prices and all that. It's I think last time I bought a pack of, like 10 ISBNs, it was $99 each.
Wow.
Yeah, so and then I and it when I first started in 2016, they were only $79 a piece, and
Right.
now it keeps
Keeps
eking
going
up.
up like
Yeah, it's
everything
going. That's why
else.
I bought 10 and I've used four of them so far. So they don't go out, they don't have an expiration date or anything. So
Sure. I never thought about Amazon doing anything weird. I guess maybe I'll be
I
dead by
know.
the time.
But these are the things that independent authors have to think about and have to be educated on. And there's no like, I mean, there are some, I guess, educational references to all of this. When you're an indie author, do this or don't do this or do this and don't do this. But it's not, there's no, instruction book. It's all experience and hit and miss, and
Right. And nobody tells you when you start, okay, this person says this and that person says, well, there's tons of people saying this and that and the other, and who.
confusing. And then if basically, if you want somebody to do it all for you, you have to pay.
Right.
And let's face it, we don't have the money to pay for marketing and for all of that. I mean, we have that's it's just a I don't know.
Well, and we've all been taken by one thing or another over the years.
So I think it's just being educated, being aware, knowing what your limits are, both financially and otherwise, and getting those people like your friend, to help out when you need it. It's all about goes back to networking and knowing the people, the right people to help you, and being and really doing most of it yourself.
Doing most of it yourself, knowing and being kind, treating people well and doing what you can for other people, and then watching out, 'cause and then watching out for people that are not helpful. I like the person I had do my cover, I will not work with in the future. because he didn't do what he said he was going to do. And I had to get someone
Oh.
else to finish the job that he started. But I got a good cover out of it.
Okay.
So it just delayed my book because I had to clean up the mess that he left. And so I'll know that for the future.
So
So
Joe, it's Tony. I have a character development question for you. Back
okay.
into the guts of the book. Because I co-authored a book, a romance adventure novel. So there we have with a woman co-author. So anytime I wrote something that she would say something like, a woman wouldn't say that, or a woman wouldn't think that. And then she would write something, and I would say, a man wouldn't do that. A man would. So did you get? So you were talking about like something before, which we won't get into, but about like what's good for one should be good for the other. But I don't know that the genders are perfectly symmetrical with each other. So that's my argument, that this is men are men and women are women for certain things, right? So when you're writing your characters and you've got male characters and female characters, that do you consult with a male to make sure that you're writing correctly for a male? Now I'm saying it that way because I don't want to mince words, but this is a lot more nuanced than that. But like, do you have a consultant? Because I had a consultant who happened to be my co-author.
No.
I
It wasn't always easy, by
have
the
mostly I did that on my first book, which was male, almost completely male, from a male point of view. And my first husband was I was talking to him about it almost at the time. And there were a couple things that he said, no, a man would not think that way, or he would not do that. And I remember that coming up a lot of times in my first book. This book, I don't remember it coming up that much. But I remember it coming up a lot in The Bright Side of Darkness. Well, not a lot, but a couple of times in that book.
Yeah, I think it's always good. It's always good to get some differing opinion. And every once in a while, I totally blew it trying to represent the female character. I mean, really obliterated what would be right and wrong in how to represent that character in that situation or in that reaction. And under those circumstances, it was really good to have somebody telling me that. And then others, yeah, go
Once in a while, I also ask my husband for visual things where I'll say, what would you see in this situation, or what would you notice in this situation? Not too often, but sometimes that'll come up where I'll ask him. People always ask me, how do you write so visually? And a lot of times it's just because I have an imagination. But sometimes I'll ask him, what would be the first thing you noticed if you walked into a room or somebody's apartment or whatever? And I'll put that in.
Yeah, so Joe, this is Annie. In your book, you have a situation between Trevor and his best friend. And they do this, I'm not going to give it away, but they get into an altercation,
Right.
you right? And I thought that was so authentic. I was like, yeah, men
That's
really do
exactly
this.
what two boys would do in that
Right. Boys are
situation.
boys, right? And I was like, that was really awesome. I was like, oh, that's what really happens. And then so did you have anybody look that over, or was that just
I had a stepson,
okay? I
so
was wondering.
I kind of
Yeah.
knew And where the girls, on the other hand, they
Oh,
yell at each
yeah.
other and she runs away, and
Yeah.
it's so
And the
teenage
old,
girl.
yeah, the whole witchy thing. Yeah. David, so the high school antics. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
Pretty
but
good stuff.
I had a couple of moms of teenagers that I talked through
Oh,
about it.
that's cool. Yeah.
Just so that I wasn't the only, that I wasn't the only
Right.
one. Does this look like, and they were like, yup, pretty much.
This is Alice, and congratulations, Joe, on another novel. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, I'm very surprised that Braided Love did not do better on Audible, because I thought you did such a beautiful job with that
I'm still
novel.
trying. I'm going to try to figure out a way to push it again.
Yes, I hope you do, because there's so much in that for all readers, but especially for young adult readers. It's just such an important novel and so interesting, and you just weave such a fine tale there that I really hope you have more success with that particular novel. My question is that one, you did such a beautiful job with each chapter being from alternating points of view. I'm assuming this book is not that way. Is that correct?
It's somewhat that way. There's kind of interwoven points of view. Some of them are from his and some of them are from hers.
Okay.
And so it's not quite as much that way.
And
I
my
like
other,
exploring different points of view, so it kind of goes back and forth a little bit.
and I also wanted to ask you, did you have any beta readers who are
Yeah, I
teenagers?
did. I had several.
I know, but who are teenagers?
I couldn't find. I had a one or two, but I wish I could have found more.
Well, thank you, and good luck with both of your
Thank
novels.
you, and I'm sorry you had trouble.
Oh,
Did you
I'm
ever
still
figure?
working on it. I'll call
Another
tomorrow.
person mentioned they had trouble getting it on Alexa.
Yeah, Alice, you had trouble getting my book on Alexa. You never got it right.
I don't know why that is. I do on some and not others, but
Yeah.
I still call, and sometimes they can help and sometimes they just don't. But anyway, I don't know what the deal is, but I've always gotten Joe Elizabeth's before. I
That's
don't,
so strange.
there's
I don't
not a
know.
one that I'm not, so we'll see. I'll hopefully have time to call tomorrow and find out. But thank you very much, and I certainly look forward to reading it. Good luck.
Well, thank you.
All right, Joe, we are almost at the top of the hour,
Oh,
and
that went quick.
yeah. Do you have any last minute words to say before we hand it over to Lisa for closing remarks?
Well, check out my website. It's brightsideauthor.com. Like looking on the bright side.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here, and I really wish you all the success possible for this book, and just the conversation with you is always a wonderful thing, and I can't wait for your next book. Do you have any plans?
No, I'm still
Yeah,
recovering. Like I said, it takes me a
yeah,
while.
yeah. All right. Well,
She's resting.
she's resting, right? Don't be a stranger, and
Joe was she was a beta reader for the romance adventure novel that we just came out with, but it was so different when she beta read it for me. And because of
I
the
had fun
beta,
with that.
thank you. And with the feedback, We really revamped that whole thing. So beta readers are really helpful people. So thank you,
Yes.
Joe. Appreciate it.
You take
Yeah.
care. I'd
Yeah,
like
you
to see
too.
it again.
Okay. Actually, we're launching it in a couple of months
Yeah,
on
Joe, you
Daily
should come to the
Guru.
book launch. Yep.
Awesome.
And
Yeah.
I've got it. I've got a PDF and Word versions of it and all that stuff. So I'll send you one, Joe.
Okay.
And Annie, I think I have to send you one too. Maybe I already did. I think I already did.
You already did. Yes.
Okay. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Take care. All
Yay.
right. Lisa, do you have any
Okay.
closing remarks? Yeah.
All right. Well, again, congratulations, Joe, for getting your book out there. And I hope a lot of people read it on Audible or elsewhere. And I mean, when it gets on Audible. And I hope they read your other books that are already there, too. And I know that a lot of you know all this information I'm going to say now, but if people who aren't a part of Behind Our Eyes listen to these book launches, then I want them to know about our organization. So I'm the president, Lisa Bush, and I'm going to tell you about Behind Our Eyes. So we have a pilots committee, and if you join Behind Our Eyes, you will be welcomed by one of the people on that committee. There's a writer's exchange committee who creates classes for free. And right now, Nell is doing a class on romance writing. Sorry. We've had three anthologies, and we are working on a fourth one. We have a reader's workshop. We have a magazine called Magnets and Ladders that comes out twice a year. We have Write-In Fridays where you get together and say what you want to work on, and then you go out for an hour and then come back and tell what progress you've made on what you said you would work on. We have programs on Sunday evenings, although this past Sunday was afternoon, and twice a month with speakers or workshops or critique groups. Of course, we have our email list where you can post messages at the most twice a day, and there's some critiquing that goes on in there, and information and a six sentence prompt each week. we do have critique groups, and we have a nominating committee. We have a marketing group, and we also have our genre group. And right now the genre is romance, and in March it will be journal writing. Of course, we have these book launches, and we have the Zoom committee, which Annie and Marlene are in charge of. And we have, I can't think of the name of it right now, but submission, that's it. Submission days once a month. And it's sort of like the Write-In Friday, but you submit something or tell you what you're going to submit and then come back and say how successful you were in submitting it. Did I miss anything?
No.
Okay, so
Not that I can tell, Lisa.
thank you. Nell is our program manager, is doing a great job. Come up with some really good innovations since she's been at the helm. So anyway, okay, so I hope everyone has a good night. Thank you for
Thank you,
coming.
Lisa. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.